How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick. And as always, I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronald. Ronnie, how's it that side?
Oh, Vaka, how's it there? We got electricity in South Africa.
Yeah, we got some electricity now. So instead, our traffic pointers have taken to sweeping the intersections. I think I sent you a photo.
Saw that picture. That's amazing. It's only South Africa. It's only in South Africa, really. What was there to say?
Yeah, that was definitely a sight to behold, guy with a broom right in the middle of the intersection sweeping it. Make work where you can.
Yeah, do a better job. Like, the homeless folk in Pretoria obviously do a better job than the government. So,
yeah,
well done.
Absolutely. Ronnie, I understand you had a bit of a wardrobe malfunction this weekend.
Yeah, okay. So, I haven't obviously told you this, but I did allude to it. You'll know, since we lived together at Varsity for two horrible years, how I do my laundry. You can only imagine right now this unfolds. Yeah, so the sun comes out the other day and I decide, yes, perfect day to hang my laundry outside. And I put it on without any clips or anything. No, I just hang it over the laundry. You're already laughing. You know where this is going.
I already know where this
and, is And I've hanged my laundry up outside in the sun, and yeah, bloody half an hour later, there's a knock on my door. And I start panicking because I've had a couple of Spanish folk knock at the door here wanting to check the water meter, and it's always chaos. But she knocks the door, and I open up, and it's a old Spanish lady, and she's speaking Spanish, and I don't know what's going on, but all I can see is her holding my pineapple boxes in her hands that have clearly blown off from my balcony onto hers. So, yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie.
Lessons have been learned. I will now be using laundry pegs now.
For the first time in your life, you're making use of laundry pegs.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. I was like, what? Sorry, yo no hablo español, you know? And then she's standing there holding my pineapple boxes.
Yeah, I remember when you lived here with me, we used to find your clothes scattered around the complex if there was a fair amount of wind during the day.
Yeah, unfortunate, but oh well, lessons learned.
Yeah, sometimes they have to be learned that way. Ronnie, talking about lessons learned, we watched Chasing the Sun 2, Episode 2 this weekend, and Rassi surely wanted the box to learn some lessons from that loss to Ireland, eh?
Well, we can only wait for Episode 3 to see if those lessons were learned. I mean, we have no idea where Chasing the Sun goes or what happens in the last episode. No. We can only speculate, but hopefully the Springboks turn things around, you know?
Yeah, we can only hope they manage to turn it around. Rassi had some stern words for the boys there, you know, saying they're not all that they think they are. Siya Kolisi's not the biggest thing in South Africa. South Africa's the biggest thing. Calling them out, really climbing into them. And I think for me, my draw of that was Rassi really hated that we lost to Ireland. And I'm pretty sure Rassi's doing everything in his power now to make sure he evens the scorecard in July.
I think if you watch episode two now, definitely the loss to Ireland, you know, we felt that he made it, and like he Chasing the Sun, you know, you got to make things personal because the emotions only last for 5 minutes, but when you make it personal, it lasts for 80. So the series against Ireland, wow, it's going to be massive. And, you know, it was already sold out within a matter of hours, all the tickets. And, you know, if you just watch Chasing the Sun, it's only making that rivalry bigger because, you know, we haven't beaten them in 8 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's definitely added a bit of spice to that one. And then also quite touching, Dion Faris segment in there, you know, where he said he'd almost given up on the dream of becoming a Springbok. He'd never been recognized through his career, and then to suddenly be recognized at that late age. And Dion David's even saying he can't believe that this was the first time that
Don Heumann
saying this is the first time he can't believe this is the first time he's been recognized.
Yeah, no, look, I agree, and I think, you know, Dion Faris saying what he said, you know, gave a lot of us that, you know, 30-somethings, but I hope that we could still get called up at our late age. You know, we still can do it, you know.
You're in with a chance, Ronnie. I believe in you. I absolutely
It's not a 0% chance. Like, it's very close to zero, but it's not zero. I can still make it.
Not zero. Ronnie, one can all but dream, hey?
All but dream.
Then we take a hop over. It was the URC this weekend. Some interesting results went down there. But let's start off with Super Brew. I dropped a fair amount on Super Brew. I had a pretty shocking weekend. So I am down in 286. And guys, I'm so sorry this happened, but it's not just my fault. It's also all of your fault. The other 1,400 of you in our group have, or 2,400 of you in our group have allowed Ronald to get fifth on the log. And yep, we all have to deal with that now.
It's amazing. There's only four people in the group better than me. Can you believe it?
Yeah. And now I asked Ronnie to please share some of his Super Brew picks from the weekend with us that saw him climb up on the log. And he's written here on the agenda, nope, I won't be sharing my secrets. So, Ronnie, I see how you're playing this one, eh? Proper dirty tricks.
No, it's not. Like, you've got to wait for chasing the brew docuseries to come out about my fantastic performance in Super Brew.
Chasing the brew, hey. Guys, whatever you do, we cannot let Ronnie finish the season in first. I will never hear the end of it. He'll want us to change the name of Rugby Punted and all of it in his honor. So let's not allow that to happen. Ronnie, first game of the weekend, we saw Dragons hosting Zebre coming away as 20-13 points winners. And that saw Dragons temporarily lifted from bottom of the log.
Yeah, so that's so fantastic for the Dragons, of course. Zebre is still, you know, one of those teams, usually the whipping boys. And yeah, look, it was still a good game. But nice to see the Dragons lift themselves up from the bottom of the log. Hopefully the Sharks don't return to bottom of the log, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, we'll get on to the Sharks so I can rub it in a little bit.
Sure. Right, and then the next game, Leinster Bulls, right? I don't know if you managed to watch that game, but if you're a Bulls supporter, yeah, just maybe skip for you a couple of minutes. It wasn't a good-looking end score for the Bulls. 47 points to 14 in favor of the home side, Leinster. And yeah, Sharks Nienaber, well done. Whatever you're doing there seems to be working. Although, you know, Leinster have always been a very strong team. We say this every bloody week that they're the team to beat. So, you know, you expect good performances from them. But yeah, you know, we spoke about last week, potentially the Bulls winning this one because the Irish side wasn't settled after a number of their players returning from Six Nations. But look, they just seem to know what they're doing and just crack on.
Yeah, I mean, on that point, Ronnie, if you look at it, it was 10 Irish internationals recalled to the starting side and a further 5 on the bench. So 15 changes to their team. And I think it only took them 40 minutes to click because the second half, they pummeled the Bulls. Not a single point for the Bulls in the second half.
No, you're right. So like 14-12 at halftime, right? So you're saying, yeah, then, you know, they opened the taps and you know, the points were scored by Leinster. So, geez, if you're a Leinster fan, that must have been a fantastic game to watch. But yeah, like you say, two wins ahead of the Bulls on the log now, which is unfortunate, but the Bulls remain in second though. So, you know, they're still up there, still there in a good position on the log. But once again, Leinster, geez, they're so far ahead. Yeah, they'll most likely end at the top of the log at the end of this. Unfortunately, injury to Marco van Staden, you know, can we say that was perhaps a game changer? I don't know.
You know, it's a South African thing where typically you'll see a loss to the Irish side as a way to pick yourselves up and go on and win a competition. So maybe the Bulls can stick to that.
No, you're right. But I didn't think of that. You're absolutely right. So we let Ireland beat us. We let Leinster beat us. And then we come at the end, you know, when we win the whole competition. So yeah, hopefully the Bulls can turn things around.
Yeah, hopefully for the
Kirtley, I don't know if you saw Kirtley Arendse's tackle or the illegal tackle made against Kirtley Arendse when he scored his try and his first one. So I don't know if you saw that controversial call. There was a little bit of controversy there.
Have you seen the Irish pundits coming out now and saying, yeah, Kirtley Arendse purposely ducked in to take that contact to his head so he could milk a penalty? Like, have they never watched James Lowe score a try? That oak dives
James
crazy over every corner to try and score. All Kirtley did was brace for impact and put the ball down. And in any matter, what does it matter? It was head contact. And he still got
head contact, right? We've heard time and time again, you know, they say, look, head contact was made and now we look for mitigating factors, you know. They seem to find so many bloody mitigating factors there that he got off scot-free. So, look, Kirtley, somebody said it on the group. It might even have been you on the WhatsApp group that said, you know, just because Kirtley didn't actually complain, draw attention to it, you know, they just seem to sort of move on from it. But, yeah, look, I haven't seen anything in terms of sanctioning outside of the game. So, yeah, clearly the knowledgeable people out there didn't think that there was too much in it. But I thought it was a heavy, heavy. And like you said, head contact. What more is there to say?
Yeah, it's definitely definitely had contact there and it should have been dealt with. I thought it was a red card, to be honest with you. And especially if you compare it to Nhlaba Kanye's hit for the Lions the week earlier. I mean, Nhlaba Kanye was basically on his knee when he hit the player in the head. So he was bending, you know, he was low down. This was an upright hit and, you know, same referee even and two different calls.
Yeah, and it was done at pace, like you say. So, yeah, look, it's unfortunate. I don't know so much.
So then, Ronnie, the other incident that affected Kirkley Aronson in this game, the Bulls got a loose ball and it was chipped ahead. And while it was bouncing on the ground, someone dived to try and catch it. Kirkley kicked it a further time on the ground, or attempted to. And now they say he kicked that player in the back, and so the try was disallowed because it's foul play. I mean, that is the softest moment I've ever seen in a rugby game.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. A little bit soft. I mean, it's a game of collisions. It happens, right? And, you know, the guy's got to, you know, there's soccer skills involved. You've got to kick the ball on the ground. It's, you know, there's collisions as well. Things happen. So a little bit unfortunate. But in the end, what effect did it really have on the game? Right, yeah, score was a blowout, absolute blowout in favor of Leinster. So, yeah.
No, true. Definitely, it wasn't going to win the Bulls the game. But he didn't even kick the guy in the back. He kicked along his back. So, I mean, for me, that was a ridiculous reason to cancel a try. And yeah, stuff like that needs to, like Nigel Owen said, common sense must prevail. And it really...
Common sense must prevail. And last week we spoke about it, Wayne Barnes mentioning that in the Rugby World Cup final, there was a try that was disallowed for New Zealand because, you know, there was an original knock on. The rules state you can only go a certain number of phases back. But what he did make very clear in Whistleblower's documentary is that common sense must prevail. You need to say, was it a try or no try? And I kind of agree with that. So, yeah, common sense should definitely prevail.
Absolutely. Ronnie, then we go over to Benetton. They were hosting Connacht, benefiting a lot from the return of their internationals. They got back on the winning track. You know, they were second on the log for quite a period of time. So 18-14 point win over Connacht. And they kept their playoff hopes alive with that last ditch win, ending a 3-match losing streak, Ronnie. And it saw them swap with Connacht on the log.
Yeah, so Connacht got everything to play for as well. Like we spoke of, they're just outside, you know, playoff hopes and whatnot. But Benetton coming up here in the business end of the competition, doing exceptionally well. You know, good win for them.
Absolutely. Ronnie, then talking about good wins, let me get a little cocky and bashful now on behalf of my boys, the Sharks. Back-to-back winners.
Already done. Yeah.
We have now won 2 games in a row. Can you believe it?
Yeah, no, well done. Basically, the Crusaders of the URC, right?
Yeah, you were the bad omen all along. Look, you leave us and now we win 2 games in a row after losing maybe 3 or 4.
No, I'm stoked for that. I backed them on Super Brew, obviously, because I got the yellow cap and got full marks for my URC 8 out of 8. But yeah, it's always going to be difficult for Edinburgh to come up. You know, conditions don't favor them down in Durban. It's hot, it's humid. So yeah, it's going to be a big ask for them always.
Yeah, I mean, Edinburgh would have come there with Sean Everett. We spoke, he's the previous Sharks coach. They would have definitely come there looking to get one over for Sean. But Sharks, great to see their attack firing pretty well. 3 tries to 1. And Apalele Fassi having a great game, in fact, and getting man of the match. But Siamasuku, Ronnie, he continues to impress me. Yeah, his kicking was a little bit questionable, but I really like how flat he takes that ball and the shape he's brought to the Sharks' attack. I'm really, really in favor of that.
In my opinion, like he's not scared to throw that wild pass and put the guy in space. So I think as well, I enjoy Siamasuku a lot. So somebody to watch out for in the years to come.
Yeah, so good win for the Sharks, but a bit of a worry. You see big Evan Etzebeth going down with a rib cartilage injury. We're waiting to get a prognosis on that, but it looks like he definitely will at least miss this coming weekend's fixtures. Hopefully nothing more serious than that.
Fine, get the injuries out of the way before the next World Cup comes along. So they can all be injured now. We can start blading some younger players as long as he's fine 2027.
Absolutely. Ronnie, then I noticed Oxenchea getting held up in the Sharks game and it dawned on me. I'm pretty certain, and unfortunately there's no captured stat for this, but that the Sharks have had more held up tries this season than absolutely anybody else. Some games have been down to 1-2 pointers. They've been on the line, they've gotten over and it's been held up. It's just shit luck.
there's shit luck, and we can even talk about that rule change that happened a few years back where the held up try immediately goes to the defending team for a dropout. You know, I still think that if you're good enough to get over the line, the benefit of the doubt should be given to the attacking side. It should be a 5-meter scrum, right, for the held up try. But yeah, maybe some of the Sharks' results would have been a little bit different if that's the case. But if we go look up and find out how many times they've been held up, if that's the case more than any other team, then yeah, sure. Maybe, like we say, some of the rules would have been more favorable. Some of the results would have been more favorable had that rule not changed.
Ronnie, then another thing that caught my eye about this fixture, and I had a look through the URC website. There's some really great stats there for any of you guys that want to go check it out. And Edinburgh have the worst exit percentage of any side in the competition. But this was shown quite badly in the Sharks game because they spent 70% of their game in their own half. That's a lot of game time. Yeah. Sharks probably should have scored more than 3 tries. But yeah, that's pretty poor from Edinburgh.
Absolutely. It makes me think, you know, when we talk about when you and I played Xbox against one another, and you often, I'll talk about that. And I always say to you that exiting isn't a matter of how well you exit. It's whether you can exit or not. There's no such thing as a good exit or a bad exit. It is whether you can get out of your half or out of your 22.
Not true.
Just a throwaway comment, just that I'm always right.
Oh, that you're always right. Eh? And I did hear the little brag earlier about the yellow cap and the perfect calls on the URC. I thought I'd brush over that one. Yeah, I see you laughing away.
Now we're revisiting it, so that's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, cool. Just so everybody knows, I got 8 out of...
We really can't let you win the URC. We won't be able to be mates anymore.
Sure. Yeah, then another game disappointing if you're South African, Ospreys versus the Lions. Lions going down 36 points to 21. And, you know, they had a very good performance against Connacht in the previous week, you know, finally beating them in Ireland, first out of 9 tries for South African sides. But then, you know, playing against the Ospreys, they kind of slipped up a bit there, which is a little bit unfortunate to see. You know, 5 tries to 3, so all in favor of Ospreys. They obviously were attacking really hard and did exceptionally well. But what it does mean for the Lions, this loss, is that they slip out of the top 8. So, look, it's getting very competitive there. If you look at that mid-table on the URC log coming down to the business end of the URC, you need to be worried if you're a Lions fan. Hopefully they can back it up.
So, Ronnie, I have a question. Did you call this game correctly on Super Brew?
Of course, I got 8 out of 8. I don't know if you heard that.
I had to give you another chance to put that out on the table, hey? Okay, I got lulled into a false sense of security by the Lions after they beat Connacht before. I was like, no, they're definitely going to back it up. Ospreys not as good. And yeah, I was wrong.
Look, the reality is it's very difficult to go play these teams, especially as a South African side, to go over there with the cold weather where it's wet, it's raining. You know, it's a big ask for our teams to go over there. And it's a big ask for their teams to come to Durban and Pretoria and even Cape Town. You know, we've got bloody summer here going into autumn now, but it's been hot here. And in some places it's dry, in some places it's humid, and it's the exact opposite when you go over there. So it's a big ask for the Lions. You know, they're not perhaps used to touring so much, but now that they are, they went over to Ireland, and that was a big ask for them to come away with a win. Then to do it again in Wales, that's tough.
Ronnie, last week we were praising the Lions breakdown. I mean, Franco Horn is a player we both quite enjoy watching play.
Excellent.
But this week it was an absolute shambles. They lost 19 turnovers. And I mean, that's just handing possession to the Ospreys.
Yeah, that's lack of focus. You know, they weren't up for it. They weren't focused. They weren't doing their jobs correctly. Maybe they needed a team talk from Rassie just to say, listen, boys, you know, you had a good win last week. You need to remain focused now. Don't let it get to your heads. You know, it's not a case. It's not going to be easier playing the Ospreys. It's going to be different. It's just going to be different in another part of the world where it's also wet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Morgan Morris getting man of the match. He was defending like a champion. So while they did score 5 tries, I think their defense was also pretty great, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Very strong defense. Somebody else who perhaps didn't have such a good game, Jordan Hendrickse, you know, a little bit worrying for us as Shark supporters. What are we going to make of that?
A difficult weekend for him.
Yeah, so it's a little bit unfortunate, but we hope when he gets to the Sharks, you know, he'll work out those things. We have some good support structures in place to build a bit of confidence because he is a good player. We've raved about him before, so let's hope he picks it up.
Ronnie, then down to Cape Town where the Stormers played host to Ulster. Ulster coming off a loss to the Sharks. Stormers coming off a very narrow win against Edinburgh. Stormers really struggled in this fixture. I mean, Ulster were leading until the 70th minute or so, and then a try very, very late on sees the Stormers pip Ulster 13 points to 7.
Yeah, and Marnie got his two penalties though, so, you know, good to see him. You know, we want him to be confident, right? So we expect him to make his penalties, and we expect him to get the difficult kicks now a little bit more frequently, because we as Springboks, we need that. But yeah.
But I mean, in saying that, Marnie also missed two kicks. That's another 6 points he left on the park. So something really does need to be done about the kicking, because it's a problem if you go outside of Andre Pollard. Maybe Damian Willemsen needs to be looked at and nurtured as a kicker.
No.
You've got that Percy Montgomery role again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a nice thing to see. But I think we can't take it away from Marnie. We've actually got to back him now. Like, he's got 4 years till the next World Cup or 3 and a bit years or whatever it is. So let's work on him. Let's back him though. Some games are going to be difficult, and we're going to be begging for kickers and whatnot. But we have to remember the fact that if we back him long enough, eventually the man's going to know how to kick. You know, Percy Montgomery also wasn't a great kicker back in his day, although he was fullback or whatever. But he eventually came and was a brilliant kicker for us in 07.
And I mean, we say this though, but for 2 years in a row, Marnie was the top point scorer in the URC. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he's just got a case of the yips at the moment.
Well, it's a case of the Stormers who score a lot of tries though, and they give him a lot of opportunities to kick. So his kicking stats may not be great, but he still gets enough from all of that.
Ronnie, this game also marked by the most handling errors I've ever seen in a rugby match. It was unbelievable. That ball, every time there was a break, someone would drop the ball, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah, kind of like playing touch rugby with you in the days of the Tucks.
Yeah, shots fired, eh? Shots fired, Ronnie.
We used to call you cymbals. You know, like the cymbals, like where they clash together, the cymbals, and that's what we used to call anyone else that wanted to know.
Ronnie, I was a bit disappointed in this game, though, because I was really looking forward to Frans Malherber facing off with Stephen Kitsoff. Unfortunately, they only got one scrum against each other, and then Kitsy was
substituted. It went the favor of Frans Malherber, that one scrum, though, it right?
Did. And Nietling Fischer scored a penalty against Kitsy as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic to see, right? A little bit of rivalry there, you know. We could perhaps talk about it at another stage, but it was fantastic to see the couple of grins that are coming from Kitsy and also Nietling Fischer. So that was very nice to see.
No, for sure. Stormers also really struggling in the breakdown, Ronnie. They lost 20 balls in the ruck. They're severely missing Dion Faree. He is a vital asset to that loose trio, and it seems a bit imbalanced without him there at the moment.
Well, that's a little bit worried, because Dion Faree is quite aged at this point. Like, he's fantastic. You know, we'd love to see him play for many, many years, but the reality is he's at the back end of 30. So how long can he still play for? And they've got to find alternatives. You know, you've got fantastic players at the Stormers, so it's time for them to really step it up.
I agree with you there, Ronnie. It's definitely an over-reliance on him at this point. What did you make of Damian Willems at 12? You know, we've seen him deployed at fullback for a long time now, but he is comfortable at 12, comfortable at 10. For a long time, I actually favored him at 12.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because, you know, when we think back on the days of Pat Lambie, and, you know, they didn't quite have a position for him, and he was playing fullback, then he was playing 10, you know, they were moving him around, and we always said, like, just can you pick a position for the guy? The guy doesn't know what he's doing. And that's my concern when you start having these players that are playing 12 and then 15 and then switching to another position. It's always a concern. They don't get the time to become specialist at a certain position. But to see him playing at 12 and, you know, doing fairly okay at 12, and he's also done fairly okay at 15. And when I say okay, I mean, he's actually played really well. It is comforting, right? Because he's going to be our front stain, right? He's going to be our go-to utility back at the Springboks, whether he starts and then, you know, mid-game moves to another position so that we can bring someone else on into wherever he started. You know, It's good to see that he feels comfortable at a variety of positions. And I don't think we need him as a 12, because we've got other 12s that could potentially be our Springbok big ball carriers going forward. But yeah, look, by all means, if he's playing well at 12, use him there. But every now and again, mix things up and let's see. Maybe he proves me wrong and becomes a legend at all those positions.
Yeah, I think you put Damien on the field wherever you need him, but I ideally would like to see him deployed at fullback. I think he did exceptionally well there at the World Cup, definitely been Villy's understudy. And whilst he does offer that utility factor, for me at fullback, he is just top class. Ronnie, then over to Ireland. Munster getting a narrow 20 points to 15 win over Cardiff. Jack Crowley returning there with a try and a 75th minute conversion to save Munster. He had quite a cracker. Some of his chip kicks were also top quality in that game. And I think Munster can largely attribute moving back to fourth in credit to him.
Sure. So he's definitely a player that Ireland need to become a legend, right? So they want he's good. He's proven that he's got some exciting players behind him, and you know, he can do some magical things. So yeah, by all means, go for it, Mr. Jack.
Ronnie, then we head over to the PK of the weekend, and that was Scarlets going down at home 3-45 to Glasgow Warriors. Massive, massive win for the Warriors there. Kyle Rowe scoring a hat-trick. 7-0, Ronnie.
Big hiding. It's the only away team that wins on the weekend, right? So
I don't know if you heard, and I'll say it again, you know, just for everybody's sake, that I actually got 8 out of 8 calls right for Super Brew.
I'm going to have to cut this off the show, hey?
Well, you can't cut this off the show, but I don't know if you just said it, but I did get 8 out of 8. But this was the only one where I did not back the home side. So my Super Brew goal is always to back the home side when in doubt. But in this case, no doubt that Glasgow are a strong side at the moment, and we need to give them a little bit more credit. So look, that's worth noting.
Yeah, Ronald, you and your Super Brew calls this weekend, we're never going to hear the end of it. Over to
are we actually saying that Glasgow move above the Bulls on the log? Is that really what happened? I thought that the Bulls were still second. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Glasgow Warriors are sick. Take back what I said earlier.
Yeah, so that puts the Warriors above the Bulls on the log, Ronnie. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I didn't actually realize that until right now.
Ronnie, then we take a jump over to Super Rugby. Some interesting results there. Reds going down at home 19 points to 20 against the Brumbies. Good win for the Brumbies in that one. So two top Aussie sides.
Two very strong sides at the moment, and it's good to see. We want Australians to do well. We want a strong build-up for the World Cup to come. So, yeah, it's good to see.
Then Highlanders went down at home 12 points to 47 against the Hurricanes. Hurricanes currently topping the Super Rugby log, but a very worrying injury for Cam Roygaard in that one.
Yeah, it is a little bit concerning. I saw a number of posts coming out of that. I didn't manage to catch the game, but, yeah, well, look, Hurricanes are at the moment the Crusaders of Super Rugby.
Well, maybe 6 or 7 titles less, but yeah, I get what you mean, Ronnie. Then we have the Drua, who are also having a very good season. They won 31 points to 13 against the Western Force. Hectic rain going down there in Fiji. Do you remember our old duck diving days at Loftus, Ronnie?
Yeah, I do remember them.
That was a lot of fun back in the day, hey, when it pissed down with rain, then you go and run and dive and ski in the puddles across the field.
And damage the field,
yeah. Then, Ronnie, Crusaders fans will finally have breathed a sigh of relief. 37 points to 36 win over the Chiefs. No DMAC for the Chiefs, and I think that showed a massive point of difference. So, Crusaders fans, well done. You guys have finally notched up a win this season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are definitely breathing a sigh of relief. So, yeah, good on them.
Yeah, Ronnie, well, that's about it for the URC action. Plenty of that on the cards from the weekend. But now we're moving over to a bit of a break in the URC as we face off in the Champions and Challenge Cups. Quite a few of our teams actually hosting fixtures in this round, Ronnie.
Yeah, so the Sharks obviously also doing very well in the Challenge Cup. So, you know, I think they were top of the log, right?
Yeah.
When that went on break. So, geez, please, Sharks, come on. Do something fantastic. It looks like they're peaking just the right time in the URC. Hopefully that translates over into the Challenge Cup.
So a ton of fixtures. It is the round of 16 for both competitions. I'm not going to go through them all because that is a ton of games. But Ronnie, let's take a look at what the South Africans are doing. So the first South African fixture is at 1:30 on Saturday. That sees Clermont Auvergnat host the Cheetahs. Really backing the Cheetahs in this one. You know, this is a competition that's a big focus for them. But I think Clermont might be a bit too strong at home.
Yeah, that's obviously a big ask. Although the Cheetahs have obviously been, their home ground hasn't exactly been Bloemfontein for a while now, so maybe they're used to being away.
They've been based in Parijs.
Have they been?
No, they've been in the Netherlands. The Netherlands, yeah.
which is also in South Africa, in case you're wondering, Amsterdam.
True. Ronnie, so are you predicting a Clermont win in that one, am I correct?
Yeah, you could go for the Clermont side. I think, you know, a little bit of doubt for me here, but, you know, when in doubt, back the own side.
Then we have two Champions Cup fixtures in a row. It's the Bulls, also at 1:30. They are playing host to Lyon here in Pretoria. That's a fixture I'm thinking the Bulls are going to win. They're back home. They do have a good squad. They've had a quality season. Lyon, a very difficult side to face, make no doubt of it. But I think the Bulls are going to have enough to take this one home.
Yeah, so we hope so. They're playing a little bit of altitude. Let's hope Lyon sucks air. But yeah, it is going to be a big game for the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully the crowds get out to Loftus. So if you guys are in Pretoria, definitely go and see if you can get a seat at that one and watch some good rugby. Ronnie, then the game I'm going to be going to this weekend down in Cape Town, Stormers playing host to La Rochelle. That is going to be a cracker. Stormers have won one game against La Rochelle already, but I mean, La Rochelle, back-to-back champions of this competition, they're going to be tough as nails down in Cape Town. And Stormers not in the best form after the last 2-3 games.
Yeah, absolutely right. But that is going to be a fantastic game to watch. We're very lucky.
You know, we spoke a little bit in the URC just now about the Stormers' breakdown issues. And if La Rochelle deploy someone like Levani Bautia, Stormers are going to have their work cut out for them, hey, in this fixture. That's a player I'm worried about.
Anyone playing against Bautia is concerned about Bautia.
I suppose you have a point there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. So I will be posting on the socials for you guys what it's like in the stadium. I really hope it sells out. That would be epic to see because I do have front row seats. So it's going to be quite a
front row seat. So you splurged a bit, yeah.
Ronnie, then we have another fixture for the South Africans, and that is the Sharks on Sunday hosting Zebre. I think the Sharks would take this fixture. Zebre, you know, Italian side, not so good on the URC log. Have managed to progress this far too, but I don't think they'll have enough in the tank to overpower the Sharks.
Yes, we can only hope so though, right? But you're absolutely right. It's top of the log playing bottom of the log. But yeah, look, we hope the Sharks will pull one off here. Yeah.
Yep, we have to hope. Ronnie, two fixtures I think that I'm also really looking forward to this weekend, and that's Leinster versus Leicester Tigers. That's going to be an epic, epic clash. Leicester in a bit of shit with a salary cap this week. I don't know if you've seen that. Their second fine for not disclosing income. But those are two very, very strong sides. Jasper Visa, Andre Pollard on display for the Tigers. Who do you think is going to take that one?
The difficult one, though. But since I've been following the URC a little bit more close, I'll probably go for Leinster, though, right? But Leinster is definitely a strong side. We've seen it with Jasper and Polly playing exceptionally well there over a number of rounds. So, it's going to be a close one, but probably Leinster.
Then, Ronnie, another fixture I'm really looking forward to, and that one is a Sunday afternoon fixture, 4 p.m. kickoff here in South Africa. Toulouse hosting Racing 92. So now you're going to have Siakalisi on display. DuPont, Intermac is back from injury. Toulouse playing really good rugby. Racing playing really, really good rugby. That is a fixture I cannot wait to watch.
An exciting French fixture to watch, eh?
Yeah, for sure. I'm packing a Toulouse win in this one. At home, when in doubt, back the home team.
Yeah, well, bloody done. So, you're going to back there, I'm going to be a little bit different. So, Russing, let's go, Russing.
I'm going to check this pick here. You can't be lying to our audience, Rodney. Trying to bamboozle all of us, yeah. Yeah, so a lot of epic rugby to look forward to this weekend, guys. But as always, there's also a lot happening in the game at the moment. The first is this debate now about the All Blacks eligibility laws. We've seen rumors that they've reached out to Sam Whitelock to come back. Ardie Sevilla saying, you know, it worked for South Africa. It's time it works for us. Do you think this is panic stations because there's so many quality players in Japan? Or do you think this is something that actually needs a proper look in from the All Blacks?
Yeah, I think it's a professional sport and players are going to apply their trade elsewhere and not necessarily in their national countries. So you have to be open to the fact that these guys are going to go out there. They're going to try and earn some money for themselves and their families. So you have to pick overseas-based players. And, you know, the All Blacks have been very fortunate over a number of years that Super Rugby was so strong so that they could have their players based locally and playing, you know, incredible rugby at home. But the reality is they're going to start looking elsewhere. And perhaps just introducing, you know, going down the hybrid route and having a certain number of caps they have to first play and then they can go overseas. That's probably a good way to go about it, the ghetto law. But yeah, look, the All Blacks, if they want to remain relevant, and you know, they've probably got to look at this.
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that deserves some consideration. Ronnie, what about Erne Herbst? He received a yellow card and was back on the field after 7 minutes. Innocent malfunction by the match officials, or was something untoward at play there?
No, I don't think it can be untoward. It's definitely a stuff up by the match officials. I don't think it had a bearing on the game, but, you know, 3 minutes, some stuff, things can happen in 7 minutes, though. You know, maybe he was the guy that slipped the tackle or made an interception. It could be, you know, it could work both ways, though. But, you know, it's just unfortunate, though, 7 minutes. It's a little bit shocking. I don't know how the match officials stuffed that up. But I think it's important to realize it wasn't the manager, the team manager's fault. The match officials are in charge of that.
Yeah, I mean, the man's South African. He served 2/3 of his sentence.
Is that a lawyer joke?
Yeah, that's a lawyer joke. Ronnie, Izzy Folau, he's returned in Japan and scored a try 4 minutes back into his return. You know, that's a player the Aussies are probably still missing quite a bit, eh?
Yeah, I don't think he'll go back to Australia, though. He is sort of, he left and it was under a cloud. And yeah, but he's an exceptional rugby player. We can't take that away from
him. Ronnie, now this is one that I found quite interesting. Still, the rumor mill is going that Kitsy looks set to return to the Stormers. And I had a laugh. Do you think Dobbo told him, hey, boys, teach him. We scrum here in South Africa. He needs to come back where his scrum is appreciated. And then Nietling and Franz went out there and was, Kitsy, boy, come back here. So you don't belong over there.
Yeah, well, maybe based on the performance from the weekend, maybe they're like, oh, okay, maybe he can stay over there. Boys. Because like you say, Nietling for sure did dominate Kitsy once or twice or three times.
Ronnie, now, this was a very, very low moment for me this weekend because I was sitting with my buddy Linzer. I'm sure the guys have heard us talk about him a couple of times on the show, but I was scrolling through my phone while sitting with him and I see, oh, Louis Rees-Zammit has signed for Kansas City Chiefs. And Linzer looks at me and he goes, oh, that's Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. And it was at that moment I realized that I have a Swiftie as a friend.
That's shocking. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, doesn't even know the guy's name, just knows it's her boyfriend and that's the team he plays for. So, Linzer, buddy, if you're listening, I'm calling you out on that one, my friend.
That's a little bit embarrassing. I absolutely agree. Linzer, you need to hang your head in shame there. But yeah, I want to say something. We have to be absolutely careful with this Louis Rees-Zammit story. Because if he goes off and is very successful, what does that spell for rugby? You know, are we going to see a whole bunch of rugby players try and copy him and move off into NFL? Hopefully that's not the case, because I don't think rugby contracts can compete with NFL contracts.
See, I'm more of a glass half full guy, and then I'm just going to say, well, clearly rugby's the harder of the two then. Just going to settle that.
There we go. That's a brilliant point. Okay. Make them feel bad.
Then, Ronnie, great to see that Sia has returned for Racing 92. He's overcome his injury and that surgery he underwent. So great, perfectly on time for the box as well. And then Viapian Nal set to retire at the end of the season. You know, he's heavily capped for the Scots and for his club side. But apparently the Stormers are lurking for his signature.
Right, so they brought Brock Harris back at one point. So maybe, yeah, they'll bring Viapian back to play for Viapian. Bring WP back to play for Viapian.
There we go. Ronnie, also now Kyle Sinclair and Louis Ludlam signed for Toulon. That now rules them out of the English side. Owen Farrell's already done that. Harry Arendal's already done that. Steve Borthwick's player stock's taken quite a hit to the French market.
Same story as the All Blacks, right? They've got to start, you know, this is professional era sports. You know, the guys aren't necessarily going to be playing in their home nations. And if you are not going to consider players that are not playing at home, then you're going to feel the brunt of it. You know, these are good players that you're going to miss out on.
It's very true. Ronnie, lastly, great note for South Africans. You guys will remember the drama last year about whether or not we'd be able to use the flag at the World Cup because of the anti-doping laws that hadn't been adopted. Well, I can confirm now that the amendment bill was adopted by the National Assembly and we are now free, thanks in SEDS has now complied. And the Springboks are free to fly their flag, sing the anthem, and Yeah, that's all sorted and put away, Ronnie.
So just explain that again, right? Last time we spoke about this, I think it was just before the Romania match back at the World Cup, that we wouldn't be allowed to fly our national flag and sing the national anthem. And that's because we weren't in compliance with, well, the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport wasn't in compliance. What happened?
Yeah, so what happened there was the doping agency, the National Doping Agency, had come up with a set of regulations. These are supposed to be incorporated in your country's legislation around the issue. And this hadn't been done, not because we didn't want it to be done, but because our government's just a tad lazy. And it took some time, but the National Assembly, which is where government sits in the parliament, they've now approved it. It's been incorporated and that issue is firmly put to bed now.
All right, fantastic.
Ronnie, the May Fokchom moment of the week. I debated whether this should go to Kyle Rowe for his 3 tries. I debated whether this should go to Kirkley Aronser for his massive headbutt on the Irish 9. but I've decided this one is going to go to old Neatling for sheer. He got a scrum penalty against old Kitsy. And yeah, well done, Neatling. That's not something many people can say, but it's probably only a South African that could do that to Kitsy. So here we go.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom, dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.